Off the Ball.
GAA. Who is the best player that you've played against?
David Clifford.
Sam Mulray.
Dermot Connolly, probably. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. The championship is here. James and Paddy, can you feel the buzz?
Wow.
It's good. I think it's good. I thought it was good. Good weekend. Good opening weekend, I have to say. More entertaining than I expected.
Shocking weekend, James. The lashing rain, the cyclone, all of that. Madness. The summer is here.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like the first weekend of a championship. I did it with the weather and everything, but it is great to get it going. Great to see a bit of knockout football. Bit of do or die. And I must say, in fairness, I watched Kevin Monaghan on Sunday. Enjoyed it. Pure first round kind of game, you know, where teams are kind of feeling their way into the championship. A lot of kind of improving for teams to do, but it's great to have it back on.
What did you like, Paddy?
The Kevin Monaghan game was obviously the marquee game of the weekend. I was pleasantly surprised with the scoreline. Is it a big shock, Kevin beating Monaghan? It's a surprise, but I don't think it's a massive shock. We'll get into it. There were some other major shocks which no one saw coming later on in the show. But I kind of tipped Monaghan last week just in terms of they're in the same division next year, obviously, but we knew Beggan was going to start, and he did, and we'd seen the influence he had on the game. Some key plays from McManus, obviously, started, Conor McCarthy. The kind of key players who were talking about all through the league that Monaghan were missing were all back. And it was in Clonus. I just expected they might have a bit much for Cavan. But to be fair to Ray McGallaghan, Cavan were full value for it. But just the scores. It was a high-scoring game. You look at there was three or four other high-scoring games over the weekend. And maybe is this... We lamented the National League final, the Division 2 final in particular, obviously, that this... It was just a conservative game. It wasn't exciting. There wasn't a lot of scores. It was very risk-free play. But I think we've seen enough over the couple of games over the weekend that we might... The provincial championships, I think we might see a bit of that over the next couple of weeks. So I think all in all, as a starting weekend, remember how long it took the championships to get going last year?
Yeah.
They were well in the shadows of the Munster Hurling Championship. So I think as an opening weekend, it was a pretty good go of it.
Do you know, with the Kevin Monaghan game, it started off very tight and it was kind of tentative. Kevin started off with a 2-minute attack, you know, just keeping the ball.
Yeah.
By the end of the match, it was absolute kamikaze stuff at the end of the game. There was fly keepers, last man back, goal chances. It just
Matty
completely
Lynch's goal
flipped on
its head. Was a great finish to the match.
But there could have been four of them goals. You should have just obliged it, James. Watch it from the 55th minute.
Yeah, final quarter.
It's like the club scene all over again.
The club scene in the last 5 minutes. All Ireland series might be the last quarter. It's always the best bit.
I'm not going to bluff you. The highlights in the last 20 minutes is what I saw from that game. It was the tie of the weekend. I was at Longford Mead. We might touch on that a little later. There were 9 championship games this weekend. So let's just go through some of the shocks before we go a bit more in depth into Cav Monaghan. Galway beating London. Not a shock. 27 points. Galway getting 2 more injuries. Not a shock. Poor Johnny Heaney. Johnny Heaney went off. We don't know how severe those injuries are. Hopefully
they're out 2 weeks against Sligo, correct? They have a 2-week gap now, Galway?
2-week gap till the Connacht semi-final. So
they'll be playing the juniors in that game.
I don't know now. Tom McElhan came on, scored 2 goals and went off. Heaney had kicked a couple of points, was moving well and came off as well. So that was Saturday. That got us going. And then on Sunday afternoon in Connacht, we had Sligo beating Leitrim by 15 points to 6. The Leitrim team, very comfortable.
Yeah.
Leitrim were short. They're 220s during the week, a number of injuries at the weekend. Andy Moran was saying afterwards that whilst Tom Parsons is a good friend of his,
he's had a cut off, Tom.
Yeah, it just feels like the GPA are letting players down at the minute with the schedule. So I think we'll be hearing a bit more about that over the next little while.
Yeah, we will.
The GPA put the fixtures out, but the GPA have to say, I need to protect the players. We need to look after them.
But that rule about not being able to play the 20s, who's that benefiting after?
It's probably... Is it?
It's to protect the players. I get the rationale behind it, but again, you're talking about counties where they don't have that much depth. Leitrim, classic example of that. That is a kick in the arse for a county like Leitrim when they have the championship game. So I know Andy spoke about this last year. I think we're all in agreement that a couple of weeks, like a 2-week window from the National League finals, if you don't make the finals, you have 3 weeks then. I don't see the harm in that. I don't, and I even this is going to be a hot topic for a lot of counties. And Andy having to cut off his old mate Tom Parsons, I can absolutely see why. And I just think I'm sure.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think they'll tweak this.
Yeah, I think they will. I think
you're in your new role too. You're interviewing all the big dogs as the head correspondents. You were chatting to our new president, Gerla Burns, last week.
Yes, I was. I know you had a good chat with Gerla because he was chatting. About you. He said, how's my pal Paddy keeping?
We spoke about this on a new show coming out. Here's a nice plug for GAA Go. It's coming out this week. But we spoke about Gerlach on his kind of his plans for, his loads of massive plans, obviously.
Did you learn anything?
I think he's going to be very good. I think he will be very, very good. But this idea, this is on his agenda. The schedule of games, the split season's here to stay. That ain't going to change, but I think a little bit more flexibility of having maybe a week at the start and maybe the end of the championship, I think that will come into play, and I think Andy will get his wish, not this year, but I think we might see this next year, that there will be a little bit more of a gap to keep the value in the National Leagues, which you've said all along, and just give that little bit of breathing space to teams with interest.
But it's a no-brainer. It's an easy fix. I don't see why they even make a hassle over it. Just change it. Everyone knows it should be changed. Change it.
Find that week or two. Yeah, but there's obviously, as always in the GA, political reasons or technical reasons.
Jared's going to sort this. Thanks to it, I have faith in him.
We'll see. So that was Sligo getting through that test and they continued their form. They'd beaten Westmeath in their last league game, beaten Leitrim. They're facing Galway next. And no hiccups for Mayo last night against New York, a 221-26 win. Biggest standout here was probably Ryan O'Donoghue's 113. He looked sharp. Points from play, very impressive. His goal was very good. And then we had Frank O'Reilly, Meath native, who played a big role for New York, scoring a wonder goal. But it was not the goal of the weekend, and we might come to that shortly, because in that Cavan Monaghan game, we got a couple of crackers. So then in Munster, we had Cork 313, Limerick 11 points. We'll be talking about this a little later as well. An interesting point from Owen Cormackin in the Examiner. Cork had 10 clear-cut goal chances and 2 half ones, continuing on their 25% conversion rate of goals, which they had in the league. If they upped that against Kerry, we might get something.
I don't know if they'll get 10 clear goal scoring opportunities against Kerry. So they're going to have to be slightly more clinical if they're going to get a surprise win in Killarney in 2 weeks' time.
Chris Oak Jones, though, he does have an eye for getting in for a goal. I don't know what it is. It's just runs are different. He doesn't look for normal possessions the corner forwards look for to swing over points. I don't think he trusts his point kicking that much. He's always in around back doors. He's looking
to... lack of loop. Is it a bit more con, the movement?
It is. Well, he's very much his own style. He's not like anyone. I don't think you'd say, he's like this fella, like that fella. It's his own style, but he's hanging around the goal there looking for the three-pointers. He's not looking for a handy score or, you know, to kick points on the loop. He wants the goal chances. And he's definitely one of the reasons why they are making so many chances.
Now, to the shocks of the weekend.
Yeah.
Waterford, without a win this year, very few wins in the league over the last couple of years. They turned over Tipperary. Now, there was always a danger this could happen. Tip bet them by 7 last year in the league, only by 1 or 2 in the Tailteann Cup. They drew in the league this year. Tip have been on the slide. We know about all the players they've lost, all the injuries they have, the difficulties there.
Tip promoted their champions 4 years ago.
2020 is unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. But Waterford turned them over. Tom O'Connell with the 2 goals and the celebrations. The first one, the arms out. The second one was a bit of a Rashford at the finger.
Marcus Rashford. Marcus Rashford to, what was it, Fraher Field.
Yeah. I don't, one of them, I think he kind of mishit it with his hand, and the second one took a reflection off the defender, but they were brilliantly buried.
Milk it. Absolutely milk it.
2-7 to 1-5. And the celebrations afterwards was just class. That's a team now. in Waterford, where there have been rumours and discussions and, you know, bits and pieces said that maybe they might go to Kilkenny and they might cut the football team. And their fullback, Cleven Walsh, was talking to Owen Sheehan afterwards, and he had one of the quotes of the summer. I'll have to get it up for you here because I do not
perhaps he wasn't that good if you can't remember it. Like.
No, wait till you hear this one. I do not want to misquote him on it. Paul Shankey, their manager, a 1999 All-Ireland winner with me.
Loyal, yep.
Yeah, so Cleven Walsh, quote, "There's so many football people in Waterford. Now, I love hurling too, but there's a few small pricks just coming up with the bright idea that we're costing too much money. Now that'll show you. Waterford football have proven their worth."
It only takes one pricks. Result to make it all worth it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it was a brilliant interview. It was done in the dressing room like it was in the old days. So first senior football championship win since 2018. First Munster win since 2010. And a first win over Tipperary since 1988.
2010.
Yeah, so it was a long time coming for Waterford. So well done to the lads and enjoy it. I'm sure they're having a bit of fun this evening down there as well. They play Clare in 2 weeks in Dungarvan in the Munster semi-final. On to Leinster. Wexford clocked up a big win against Carlo, 419 to 18 points. They will be playing Loud in the quarterfinal. Longford Mead, I was at that game. Longford 312, Mead 319. We'll talk about that a little later. And then another one of the shocks. When this score, halftime score, came into the press box in Longford, there was a lot of oohs and ahs. Wicklow 2-9, Westmead 111. Wicklow, a team with very little going for them so far this year, managed to turn them over. I'm not sure if you saw the highlights for this one, lads, but Westmead were short Kevin Maguire, they were short John Heslin, no Ray Kennellan, no James Dolan, who's been so important for them. Wicklow obviously smelt blood, went for it, and turned them over. Fourth game in 5 weeks. What a blow to Westmead, that defeat.
Heslin came on and kicked a few, didn't he? Why didn't he start? Was he carrying?
He only came on at the league final as well. Yeah, right at the very end of the league final as well.
Yeah,
that's the biggest shock for me of the weekend. That's a massive surprise.
100%.
Yeah, I know Westmead have obviously had a busy schedule. This brings it in again. You look at the league finals last year. Mayo win Division One. The following week, they just never get up to the pitch of it, and they're surprised by Roscommon in the first round of the Connacht Championship. And it has this feel of it again. Look, there's key players. Ray Kennellan's obviously very important. James Dolan. That's Heslin. Like, experience. Maguire. They're arguably their four most experienced players. That's that fine. When you get dragged into a dogfight like that against Wicklow, the underdogs, and they're hanging in there, you need that little bit of cool, a little bit of composure. And that's obviously a big loss. Plus, just the schedule. I don't know if Desi Nolan's going to come out saying this. Is that an excuse or not? But for Westmead, that's... I had them going to the Leinster final, definitely.
Really? You thought they were going to...
Yeah, I thought they'd come through. I would have backed them against the Urban Play Kildare this weekend. I would have fancied them in that, just in terms of trajectory and their conference, where they're at. And Loud as well, obviously doing very well in Division 2 with Jared Brennan. But I just had Westmead. I'm surprised. I'm very, very surprised at that one. They'd be so disappointed with that. You know, what they take the big box in terms of... Being promoted and winning Division 3 would have been absolutely circled at the start of the season, but I think they definitely would have been eyeing a Leinster final, being on the other side of the draw from Dublin as well. So I couldn't believe that result. Because Wicklow, Oisín McCaughan did a brilliant job last year getting Wicklow up from Division 4, which was probably a surprise. That was probably ahead of schedule. But this season, they've struggled for any sort of positivity. Couldn't really get a result. McConville obviously missed a couple of games through suspension, and then they're relegated. And just the form lines coming into this, this is supposed to, because league and championship are very, very different things. And teams who had a bad league, I'm thinking Kildare this Saturday, or this weekend, they play Wicklow. Can they turn it around and just literally like a fresh start? Because that's what it looks like Wicklow have done. But that is a massive, massive shock. Brilliant for Wicklow and Oisín McConville and those players. That is a brilliant, brilliant turnaround for them. But for Westmead and those players, they'd be so disappointed. The momentum they had built up in their season over the last 2 or 3 months just wiped in one afternoon. They'd be so disappointed.
But like at the start, once the draw was made, Westmead must have said, this is our chance. We have a route to the Leinster final. Like Kildare are not going well. If they were to win that, is it low they think they have to beat? Like they're not easy games. Yeah, they're not easy games at all. But it's still a route to a huge game. Do you know, like that, like playing that Leinster final as a group of players, that would have been their goal. But you have to feel so sorry for Westmeath in a way. Unbelievable result for Wicklow, and what a performance and result. But for Westmeath to have to play the week after that great high, go in, win a trophy, you're delighted, you're in the dressing room, Croke Park, you're brilliant, you're tap on the back, you just relax a small bit. Just that tap on the back and that you're flying, you know, well done, you're great. That shit softens you a little bit. And it's so hard to go out the following week into a championship match when the other team have been chomping at the bit waiting for you.
Yeah.
So I do have sympathy for them. And as I said, it has to change, but what a result for Wicklow. Like, yeah. Season changing, brilliant result.
Wasn't that the thing, like, from Wicklow's perspective, and McConville kind of spoke about this after, there's, you can have a bad league and things are going against you, and then you can kind of park that and go, okay, that hasn't happened for us. We've had it, but now we've a championship game ahead. I'll give you that couple of weeks to kind of, we said a couple of weeks, that chip on your shoulder is still one of the most powerful things in sport, yeah. And getting a performance. The thing for this Sunday now, for Wicklow, they're out again against Kildare, and that's the big question mark over Kildare, who probably have had the worst league out of everyone across the four divisions. Do we see a kind of clean slate from them and a bounce back? So it's an intriguing one. We said this, we were doing something on Friday for a championship launch. The Leinster Championship would be a great championship if Dublin weren't in it. There's so many different storylines in it and teams that are evenly matched. And but
there was a good stat on Sunday game last night. You see it about no one has gone within 10 points of Dublin in like,
since when? Well, Mead got the 3 points a couple of years ago.
Only Kildare in 2017 have gotten within 10 points of Dublin.
In the last 10 years.
The Mead not giving 3 or 4 points.
In finals
have been a complete washout. Yeah.
But they're the real testers.
Ugh. I don't know if we're going to get into provincial championships here, are we?
No, not yet. No, we'll save that for later. Like, it was a good weekend, and there'll be some very good games this weekend. Wexford Loud is...
That's the cracker boys.
Like, Wexford were fuming. They didn't get promoted from Division 4 as well. Very hard done by, they can feel. But they carried on their really good form. They dispatched Carlow with very little fuss. Loud are going to be favourites, obviously, the Division 2 team, but there's a confidence in Wexford again, and they have that little bit of a chip on their own shoulder over that not getting promoted and that very contentious call. That's a double header on Sunday. Exciting and hard ones to call, because you just don't know the form. What are Kildare going to show up like against Wicklow, who are going to be massively confident, and can they back it up after their win over Westmead? And are Wexford kind of, do Wexford have something in the locker, a sucker punch for that Loud team? So it'll be interesting on Sunday.
We'll do you see there was a show on RT last night about Newbridge or Nowhere? Did you watch it?
Oh, was there? No.
It's about 2018.
It was actually
a great one.
I don't think it.
But Kildare, right time, it was about, was it? I think it was called Scannell or something. I don't know. It was Scannell. On RT anyway. They lost their 7 league games that year as well, Kildare. And
did they
end up in the qualifier?
They were Division 1 though, weren't they?
I think they lost to Longford in the championship, but like 7 or 8 points. They were dusted. Won a couple of games in the qualifiers and drew Mayo. And like, they just goes, we're doubling down here. We're playing this at home, or you can fuck off. And
do you remember
Keane O'Neill was on the news and everything?
Keane O'Neill was loving it.
Yeah. And they
beat us in the final the year before. Like, that was Mayo, like peak Mayo. Like, that's some win. Like,
they knocked them out and then got into the groups. Oh, it was good watching, I must say. But similar, like, Kildare have a bad league in them. If they had a bad league this year, they had worse that year. They lost all 7.
It was Carlo who bet Kildare that year in 18 in the championship.
Was it? And they beat Longford in the qualifiers then.
That's so good. They lose to Carlo and then knock out Mayo. Like, yeah, that's a turnaround.
Carlo were rising back then, Paddy.
Oh, sorry, you spoke about this before. Yeah.
They had a couple of decent performances against you on those years.
They did
nearly met us a couple of times. Yeah.
Paddy, I've got distracted there. There was something I wanted to put to you.
You're not yourself today. It's the beard tea. If you're watching on YouTube,
I need a shave. Yeah,
have a Snickers.
George Michael.
Not that bad. Okay, Cavan Monaghan game of the weekend. Right, I've got the game here to my left at the minute. and it's the 76th minute. It's like
you're only watching it now, like.
Monaghan won 12, Cavan won 11. Monaghan allowed Cavan to get a short kick at it. They moved the ball up the field, and Gerry Smith takes the ball on the left wing, and with purpose, he drives. What a goal. To go for goal. I know it opens up for him, but to go for goal in that moment, with 2 or 3 minutes to go in injury time, in an Ulster Championship game, oh, I just think the purpose there is just refreshing. It's brilliant to see.
Go on, Petty.
No, it's just, you mentioned purpose. That's And we've seen this, like, to be fair, Monaghan's goal as well against a set defence. To break that down, you need to go with purpose. And whether you're running with the ball or whether it's a kick pass, you need intent in what you're doing. And Monaghan's goal, Carl O'Connell does it. Conor McCarthy makes a brilliant cut in from the sideline and just injects pace into it. And even though Cavan have loads of bodies back and it's against that really stiff breeze, which I think actually added to the occasion in terms of style of play, Monaghan get a goal out of it. And for Smith's goal, you're right. He just goes, and you see this so often, right? He's thinking of taking a point. But he gets the ball back and he kind of looks up and he realises, I'm actually in here. Mm. And that's the most impressive. But then he steadies himself because he's definitely thinking when he gives that pass, if I get this back, I'm going to clip it over to level it.
Yeah,
but it just opens up and he takes that half a second. You can see it. He's nearly surprised and rifles a pass back. And it's not the best goal of the game. It's a brilliant goal. I think Paddy Faulkner's, we'll touch on that. But it was a brilliant play for Cavan. And I have to say, when Monaghan go two up in injury time, and Began comes in with a brilliant play for the mark, and then he nails the free, and you're just thinking, this man and the experience they have, they're going to see this game out. But resilience Cavan showed, and that goal was a brilliant, brilliant play. But you see it so often, when you give the pass and someone's chasing and you get it back quickly, the defenders just switch off, Jimmy, for a second. They think when you give the pass, your job is done, and you kind of, even subconsciously, you take a step back. And if that ball goes back quickly to the guy who gave it, he's in. And it's that happened exactly like that in that scenario. And it was a brilliant finish past Began, who obviously had a big, big impact on the game. We knew he'd start.
I thought his save from Paddy Lynch in the first half.
The first half was a class. Brilliant. For such a big guy to get down so low. But on that goal for Smith, what a play. And that purpose to you said it. He was like, I'm going at this. Shackles off, backs to the wall. We need something special. And Jesus Christ, did
that. With that 1-2, John, with the 1-2, it's because your defender automatically looks to see where you've passed the ball.
Yeah.
So they've lost
half a second. It's half a second is all it is. Like.
Exactly. It just say, you pass it off. Then your defender goes, oh, who did he pass that to? And as he looks, his concentration is gone off you for just for a split second for you to make a little sidestep or a dart. But I think that Monaghan lost that game in the first half. I thought they were so
should have been further ahead.
Like, way further ahead. But they just played so poorly, so slowly, standoffish. As I was watching it, because I watched it back knowing the result, and I was like, they're so standoffish here. They need to go in 4, 5, 6 points up and just have Cavan question themselves. But instead, they left Cavan into the game. And at halftime, you can be certain they were in the dressing room going, we have him. We're going to come out and win this. Mm. But I think the referee did Monaghan no favours either. Some of the frees he gave to Cavan, especially in the first half. In the 15 corner, I thought they were very soft. And he gave Monaghan one soft one right in the same corner to McManus. But I thought that he gave Cavan a couple of handy points when they were really hard to come by.
And Paddy Lynch was not missing any of those chances.
Paddy Lynch
What a kicker.
Beautiful. The kick he gets, his last free before half time, where he's out on the sideline, and that breeze is, you could see, do you know breeze is bad when you can tell it from the TV cameras. The poor old Sunday game studio, the lads were going to blow away there. But what a kick. Paddy Lynch was electric, so clinical. The interesting thing for Monaghan, you're saying it, Jimmy, the way they kind of set up, it was just, I know Darren Hughes always plays that role where he drops back in, and he kind of plays the plus one top of the D, and he does it very well. And I know, on a side note, bad injury for him yesterday. What a stalwart. Hopefully that's not as bad as it maybe looked.
The word was that he was home from hospital last night. Nothing broken in the leg, but they're waiting on an MRI. Okay.
Well, that's good. Speedy recovery for him. But it's just surprising, considering the conditions were so... Like, you were not getting kick passes into that breeze. Yeah. You know, does Vinnie Curry look back on that and go, we've a gale force with minus? I know Paddy Lynch is the go-to man for Cavan, and Killian Lavelle has marked him. Do you need a sweeper in there in that first half as well? Or can you say, we've got 35 to 40 minutes here with a gale force wind at our back, let's push up and try and build that, like you're saying, 7-8 point lead at halftime instead 100%. Of having Darren Hughes back there? It's like, he's not going to cut out kick passes because Kevin can't fucking kick the thing in. The breeze is too big.
I couldn't agree more. Do you know where they were pressing? Do you know where they were pressing? They were pressing on their own 45. They were too deep. Like Kevin were on them, just hand passing the ball around the opposition 45. It's such a comfortable place to hold the ball. Whereas if you can push them back 20 yards, that's when they get jittery because they're inside their own half holding the ball.
Can I ask you a question? Build up to a game like that, knowing there's a storm on the horizon, and obviously you can't, you know, would you have worked or would you have spoken about,
you can't rely on the weather. Like Cavan's game, or Monaghan's game plan is spot on in the week leading up to the game. That if you're playing Cavan, we've got to have a plan for Paddy Lynch. We know Cavan are going to look for, he's going to be their go-to guy. So, and like Darren Hughes is so comfortable playing that role, and it's how Monaghan mainly play. So, but then you get to the ground on the day of the game and you go, we're playing with the breeze in the first half. And you'll only notice 15 minutes after throwing, you know there's going to be a half. You see the conditions going, you go out for the walk around and go, it's like a different sport playing with the wind and against the wind. When it's that bad, you've got to adapt there and say, if we're with the wind in the first half, lads, we've got to absolutely hammer, push up on the kickouts on there because they won't be able to get out of their own half and we don't need a sweeper. Because they literally can't kick the ball in. So you have to adapt at that point. And that is on the fly. And then you have a couple of minutes to talk through it. But I think Monaghan will look at that and say they regret that. They didn't build up a lead in the first half. Look, Cavan were very good in the second half as well, outside of the conditions. But you do have to adapt to it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but say when you're playing with the wind, you have to be so careful with the ball as well. Because Cavan, all they wanted to do, and rightly so, was almost kill the clock from every play. Do you know, they wanted to take as long
in the
as
first
they could.
Half.
Yeah, to score. Totally.
You're time wasting. Yeah.
And a couple of balls went in, silly possessions, just hand pass a bit too long. Or I remember Hughes gave one, and then they kicked one in, it came back out. And next thing, Cavan had the ball, and they just said, right, let's calm it down. Let's kill another 2 or 3 minutes with this attack. Get a shot off. Delighted. And it's so hard to come back from that when you're giving the opposition the ball back and they're just killing the game. Your energy is gone.
At an early play, that you'd be like you have a black card. You're nearly playing the whole half as if you're a man down. So let's kill this. Let's drag the arse out of this half for as long as we can. And then once we get our goal in the second half with the wind, then it's attack everywhere. Yeah. And he just... It was a tight game. We knew it was going to be a tight game, but I think it's easy saying this now after the fact, but I think Monaghan will look at that and go, we didn't manage those conditions as well as we could have. It wasn't the total winning or losing the game, but it was definitely a big part of it.
The other aspect of a wind, right, is you have to put their goalkeeper under incredible stress.
Yeah. Attack him.
And the only way to do it is to have him... Mill him and have him put the ball down on that tee so often. He's like, not again. Oh, fucking not again. Do I have to do this again? So you have to just have shot after shot after shot. Even they don't have to be tap overs. You know, you can afford to have maybe a slightly lower conversion once you're having enough shots because that goalkeeper is under so much pressure and it puts the nerves through the whole team. And as well, an opposition kick out against the wind is actually such a strong attacking position for you then.
Yeah.
Because he's going to give you the ball back if you have a proper press on. Didn't do that enough either.
Very well against Longford. They put them under savage pressure for about 12 minutes. They had an 87% shooting efficiency in the first half. All their scores coming from play. I think they had one wide.
Lads, playing with a gale force wind at your back if you're a forward is absolutely beautiful thing.
It was a
it just pulled the trigger from fucking everywhere. Jack McCartan gets a score in the first half on his left.
Beautiful.
In a great ball. If that was into the breeze, it wouldn't have went 15 yards. Like, the leg would have come off. He was standing still. He was about to be blocked. And it just sailed over. I was like, I missed that.
There was a
lovely video.
My TikTok is just full of golf videos at the minute, but there's a great video of the pace
big week
of
for
greens,
the golf.
Pace of the greens at Augusta, and
Ken Brown.
Yes,
yeah, that's a great video. Seen that? I was watching about 20 minutes ago. The stint leader.
And it rolls.
Leave it under the cup. Leave the ball under the cup.
Downhill, exactly. Leave the ball under the cup. Then same pace. The next one only goes 4 foot.
It's a big week for the golf lads. We need this. We'll do Masters tip show in our members pod.
You won't see a minute of it. I am going to be tuning in to 100% of that golf. You won't see a drop of it.
We've fucking Hugo's Christmas. Hugo's Christmas on Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoon. Leinster La Rochelle is on the Viva. Raj is planning another ambush. So all my mates are going into that in the piss. And then the Masters is on. And I'll be fucking sitting there with the little fella in the christening gown. Shambles.
And then Sunday.
And then Sunday, GA Go is back on the road for a doubleheader in Portlaoise. Wow. So I'll be watching those games, and I will have out of the corner of my eye the Masters will be on the phone. But
they'll have to have a screen somewhere.
Yeah, James. So don't worry about me,
Tommy.
Talk to us about Pádraig Faulkner's goal, because Michael McMullen overheard Faulkner telling Owen McConnon after the game about the use of his backside to buy a yard of space, and that was key, wasn't it?
It was. Do you know McManus did in the first half for his point as well? Lovely. Yeah. Do you know when he got the ball down the line? It's a risky one because there is a chance that the defender gets the hand out and you lose the possession altogether, and you look like a bit of a dickhead because you haven't gone and won possession. So he times it perfectly. That was the key, just to get his body between the defender and the ball, turn fast, and then he uses his steps very creatively. I would say he probably takes one extra step, but he just gets into the right spot to absolutely leather a punt. And like, it's such a good connection for the strike as well. Because if he opens up his body, he's too far out. And his only other option really is to chip a point. So he showed unbelievable balls to actually go for the goal. But to get that power with the laces from dead on was super strike, yeah. Similar.
There was no way he was curling that ball around someone the size of Began from the angle he was at. He had to smash it,
yeah. It didn't look that on, do you know, like when it rattles the net.
Yeah,
when it rattles the net, you're like, whoa, do you know. Yeah. But that they create the moments. That probably won them the game. Going for the jugular, going for the goal. A goal is worth more than 3 points.
Have that one over.
Yeah, that would have been people saying fist it over.
A high percentage score was a fist over the murder.
Yeah. But imagine, right? I've been there. The opposition scores a goal like that. Your full back line, or say the Cavan full back line, would have all been given the Monaghan full forward line plenty of it after that. You know?
yeah.
They're shouting in their face. Like, that score ripples through both teams. It's such a big play in a championship match. That's why I see teams taking the point. I know a point is another nail in the coffin and all those kind of terms we use. But when the ball hits the net, the crowd get up, your team get up, you're up, and the opposition's on the floor.
But isn't that the... I think that the big story for Cavan from it is that when Monaghan get their goal, laid on, and then they nudge into the lead, like, all the momentum seems to be with Monaghan. And they're the kind of more experienced team.
Yeah.
I know they're in the same division next year, but Monaghan the Division 1 experience, and you're thinking Monaghan have a record of dogging out tight games. You think last year that they're winning against Tyrone and Omagh, that famous goal, Ryan O'Toole's goal as well. You think Monaghan are going to do this again on their home patch. And that's the really impressive thing. I know Raymond Gallagher spoke about it after. He was nervous himself. You know, it was his first championship game as manager. But for them to turn that around from that position, being behind in injury time, and then win, kind of, bit of glass at the end with Paddy Lynch, a brilliant goal. But
super.
But for Cavan, outside of that, I just thought their second half performance, outside of the elements and the conditions we spoke on, but that stuff, I thought they managed the game really well. I thought they were far more clinical in possession, and they were full value for it. Like I say, they were underdogs only. I don't see it as a big shock, Cavan winning that game. You know, they were value for it, and they will fancy themselves the momentum they'll get behind them now for 2 weeks' time against a Tyrone team where We, on paper, yeah, you'd say Tyrone are going to win that one, but Tyrone have been so inconsistent. You know what? The confidence Cavan are going to take from that win, they'll fancy it. And Tyrone, if they have their Jekyll and Hyde performances again, are in danger of that one as well. So
yeah,
definitely want to keep an eye on.
The cameras cut to Brian Duher watching on. What about, I don't know what score was. It was in the last 10 minutes. I think Monaghan could have been leading at the time. So we'll wait and see what he has to think, and we'll preview that game in the coming weeks. Malachy Clerkin, I thought, had an interesting point in his Irish Times piece. And I wanted to ask you about this before we move on. Throughout the game, Galligan kept a constant stream of instruction going to his players. Mm. Push, drop, shift, hold, across, up, back.
Typical goalkeeper. Can't
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
fascinating
goalkeeper
to watch.
Talk.
If for no other reason other than the players were listening. So usually at a championship match, you'll hear managers roaring and shouting, and all you'll hear back is, yeah, yeah, or players putting their hands up. But the Cavan squad seem to be in sync with their new manager for the moment. Anyway, does it make a difference that Galligan has spent the last 10 years behind his defence saying these things and players around him? Is that having an impact here? Obviously, you could hear it in Clonus. There was only 8,000 there. We know about how low the crowds were across the country this weekend. We might discuss that later on in the week. But, like, what's your experience of instruction from the line mid-game? Maybe it's different as forwards, but as defensive units, I think you probably need that little bit of chatter and talk.
I think it is definitely different as a forward. If anything, if someone's giving you too much information, it can be off-putting. Or if they're kind of telling you where to go or where to run, I definitely didn't like that. But I can see from a defensive point of view, definitely as a forward coming back, you need that instruction. Usually from someone on the field, but like if you're ahead of, say, the centre back and they're saying, James, tuck in here a little bit to the left and just push them out, or just that little bit of information, because very often a forward coming back, their concentration levels aren't the best. It's very easy to, as we said, that 1-2, you're gone, you're lost. So but I think the instruction, but it's as I was going to say, it's far more powerful coming from the players. And goalies are often the ones who give the most information during the game because they can see everything and they're not wrecked either. Do you know? But I think if you're a goalie, your fullback, your centre back are giving enough information there, it'll probably do you. But a sign of a good team, a sign of a great defensive team especially, is they're all yapping. They're all talking to each other. They're all organising. Sometimes when it's coming from the manager, it's not as effective. I'm sure they're probably very vocal as individual defenders as well, but It's so important. If you're against a quiet defence, you slip around the back or you see a little bit of space a lot easier than if it's a big, mouthy City defence.
Yeah, it's probably just a natural progression, I suppose, because Galligan's so close to them. Maybe they're working on getting it on the field, but it's interesting. I thought it was an interesting note and interesting to hear that as well. Yeah, we've got a very vocal fullback. I describe him like a backseat driver. He's always telling you where to go, but by God, do I need it when you're dropping back into the Cradle defence. Kevin Hartnett.
But do you actually, if you listen to Gary Neville's podcast at the moment and they're talking about, Rio Ferdinand was on the Stick to Football one last week.
Fergie, yeah.
But they were saying that if you were on Ferguson's side of the field, like you would just be worn out listening to him because he's on you, do you know? And they are probably throwing their eyes up to heaven at what he's saying as well. Like it's just... Are you taking in, is all that information registering? Probably not. It's just keeping you honest, but it's not really going in either, is it?
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of wing forwards up and down the country that feel the same way, or wing backs, being on whatever side of the field you're on.
Yeah, it's cheat into the middle every time.
Okay, a few other bits that we wanted to get through this week. Thoughts on Mayo and Galway, right? Two big wins. They didn't get caught. For Galway, picking up injuries again is just another kind of issue. But for Mayo, Ryan O'Donoghue racking up 113 early in the year. James, I was going through your tallies on the Terrace Talk website, which actually disappeared. Oh. Weishi Fogarty's phenomenal website actually disappeared for a few days last week. And I know they're actually trying to find a way to keep it going. I think the family have been paying to keep it going over the last little while. So hopefully they'll find a way. They've got it back up now. But I've been going through the Terrace Talk website, a brilliant resource. And highest tally that I can see you clocked up in a championship game was 9 points against Clare early on in the Munster campaign. You would have scored 2-6 against Mayo. It was a big one to clock up as well. So does that make a difference early on in the year when you're getting those scores and getting them under your belt?
In a league game, is it?
No, or championship.
Early in championship matches.
You had nine. Oh, you had 9 points against Clare in a Munster championship semi final in 17.
From play,
is that giving you information on your form, or is it just
all from play? I won't kick in any frees that time.
How many frees? Well, fucking a freeze.
If you're kicking 9 points, honestly, you're delighted. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, you can easily say, "Nah, you're focusing on the next game, whatever." It's giving you a serious lift because you know you're on form. Like, if you're playing shit, you're not kicking 9 points, even if they are handy frees. You know, you're still kind of happy to get them and bank them. To be fair, Ryan O'Donoghue, he gets 113 against not a very structured defense, but he'll still take the benefits from them. His kicking was on. He looked sharp. He looked fast. He looked quick. He was looking to get in back doors and things. But yeah, every forward, if you're rocking up a big score, you're taking it as 100% a positive, and there's no one taking it off you. Do you know, there's no one gonna talk it down.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else then from the weekend, lads? Do you want to hear anything from Meath and Longford, or will we save it for our members' pod as we preview the big game against Dublin?
I'd say members' pod for that one, because it's the Leinster Championship. I know we've two games in the Ulster Championship next weekend before Leinster quarterfinals. Just on the, I know you're saying, Ryan O'Donoghue, that's great for Westmeath, for Mayo and Galway winning those games. There's just park them. Ryan O'Donoghue, yeah, he will. I agree with James. He'd be delighted. He kicked the spinners, okay, the eye is in. But the biggest thing from both of those games the weekend is Galway picking up more injuries. And Johnny Heaney is probably next in line below McDade, Conroy, Sean Kelly, Colby Wallace as an important player for Galway, and he has been in brilliant form. So Pádraig Joyce will be flying on that flight home from Ruislip going, what the fuck have we done to deserve this? But at least there's a 2 week gap. But for Galway Mayo, we didn't learn, I wouldn't have expected to learn anything from those wins over London or New York.
Yeah. You are listening to the Football Pod. It's Monday's episode. Thanks very much for tuning in. It's brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. James and Paddy, we've got another clatter of games to look forward to later in the week. Thankfully, we have a second pod to do so. So we'll be catching up in a little while. And we'll look ahead to the weekend to come. First weekend down, plenty more big games to come. James, Paddy, fair play. Thank you.
Cheers, Tom. Good to see you.
Chat soon.
Great, boys.